Hey, I want to mention one thing before we dig into 1 Peter 3:15. Dr. Pettit mentioned, I think it was last night, just the concept of spending time with your God, at least 5-10 minutes a day. It's such a burden of mine, because I know when you get a little taste of the Word of God, it just grows and grows and grows, okay? And from the wilds of New England, we do offer, it's just called Daily Meditations. You go to randhummel.com, and right as soon as you get on that website, you'll see subscribe. And we have a 5-minute meditation Monday to Friday. We're in the middle of the book of Jonah right now. We'll be going to Romans next when that is done. And you can read it, or you can come to your phone about 6 in the morning, wake up, hear it. No, you have to turn it on, okay? iPad or whatever. But if we can be a blessing to you, just to kind of jumpstart in early in the morning, we would love to do that, okay? And it has been, I'm always humbled to be able to come here and just, you guys were singing Amazing Grace the other night. And I'm standing over there looking around. I think there's more, I don't know, it seems like there's more Christians in this room than the entire New England, all right? And there's, it's tough up there, but it's wonderful up there. Because you just feel like you're running around punching holes in the darkness, you know, with the precious gospel of Jesus. Well, if you look at the verse that we have on the screen here, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And we've learned in this morning when Sam preached, it was wonderful on what God has done for us in setting us apart and sanctifying us, and then our positional and then the practical progressive growth that we can have. But here it's turned around a little bit, where we sanctify God in our hearts. And I wish I could do something like this. I wish our hearts could kind of be like these phones, you know. But I could reach down, just wipe, hit it, delete all your apps. And just put one on there, love God and love others. And then tap that boy 100 times a day, you know. Wouldn't that be cool? Sanctify, set apart God in your heart. Because the greatest commandment of all is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and mind. That is the thing. And then you love others in much the same way. And when you truly love God in your heart, you want to share Him with others. And that's why we see the next part of the verse. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you the reason of the hope that is in you. Now, you do it respectfully with meekness. With fear, respect. You never attack somebody's belief system. You lovingly share the truth of how wonderful and forgiving and merciful our God is, and how every single one of us are in need of this salvation, okay? So, this is a command of God. God said, would you do this for me, student? Would you just take your heart and let me have just your heart? And then study and prepare that if anybody asks you about the hope that's in you, about your salvation, that you're ready to answer them. So I guess my question is, what is it that keeps us from doing this? And the bottom line is a thing called fear, or you could call it phobias. And basically a phobia is a fear on steroids, okay? Phobos is the word for fear, and a phobia means it's something that literally paralyzes you to keep you from doing what you really, really need to do. Again, I'm not smart, but I do know how to Google, and so I looked up some of the fears or phobias. Arachnophobia, that's the fear of what? Spiders, we got that one, okay? Autozysomophobia, that is actually the fear of someone who has a vile odor. Scolionophobia. How many of you have scolionophobia? Let me explain. It's the fear of going to school. Anybody have that one? Androphobia, musophobia. Some girls think that's about the same. One's the fear of men. The other's the fear of mice. Catoptrophobia. It is. Catoptrophobia is the fear of cats. I got to ask, how many of you have cats at home? Let me see your hands. Why? Why? Now, personally, I love cats. I mean, it depends on the way they're cooked. But I really do. Lacanophobia, I struggle with a little bit. It's the fear of vegetables. I do like vegetables, you know, like onion rings and french fries, but others are tough. Emetophobia, this is kind of gross. This is a true psychological phobia. It's the fear of throwing up or blowing chunks in public, okay? And nobody likes to do that. Zemiphobia is the fear of rats or rodents, okay? Years ago in North Carolina camp at the Wilds, one of our girl counselors woke up. She was in one of the tents, and she knew something was wrong. It was like 3 in the morning. When she opened her eyes, there was a skunk that crawled in the tent, up on her bed, was sitting on her, looking at her. What do you do at 3 in the morning when there's a skunk staring at you? Hopefully nothing. Ablutophobia, that is the fear of taking a bath or a shower. Achlorophobia is the fear of looking in a mirror. Electrophobia, it's the fear of chickens. I don't understand fear of chickens, okay? Anuptophobia, some of you probably struggle with, the fear of staying single the rest of your life. You're not laughing on that one, are you? Arachibutyrophobia. Just say that. It's fun to say. Say it with me. Arachibutyrophobia. It is the fear of peanut butter sticking to the roof of your mouth. It really is. And so we have all these phobias. We're going to look at one more. And I kind of made this one up. Martyria is actually a Greek word. But martyriophobia is a fear of witnessing. And it is amazing how quickly we can laugh about the fear of chickens and vegetables. This one's not too funny. What is God's answer to martyriophobia, the fear of witnessing? He's very clear. God has not given us the spirit of fear. God has not given us this phobos. You say, Rand, I'm really, really shy, and I can't talk to people. God has not given us the spirit of fear. But you say, they may ask me something I don't know, and God has not given us the spirit of fear. So if you're afraid to share Christ with others, you cannot blame it on God, okay, guys? Instead, He's given us the spirit of power, of love, of a sound mind. Would you reverently say the last verse out loud together with me, please? Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Does it embarrass you that you're a Christian? Is it tough to walk into your dorm room and just share with the others there what God taught you in your devotions that morning and how cool it was, what you learned in chapel? Be not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. God has not given the spirit of fear. He hasn't given this phobos, this fear. But He has given us the spirit of power. Courage. Look what the Bible says. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believes. Why would I be ashamed of the very thing that makes the difference between eternity in the presence of God and eternity separated from God? Why would that ever embarrass me? Why would I get scared to share that with someone? It's a very, very, very powerful thing. If any man suffers as a Christian, let him not be, say the word out loud, ready? Ashamed. But let him glorify God on his behalf. If you're at work in the summer, or maybe you even have a job in town, and you try to witness to your friends and they mock you and make fun of you, do you know how cool that is? Because as they're mocking you and making fun of you, you are the closest thing to God they have ever met. And therefore, you can glorify God that you get to be associated with God. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The Lord is on my side. I'm not going to be afraid. Why, guys, are we so afraid to share Christ with others? You say, Rand, if I share Christ with others, they'll shake their head. Let them shake their head. They'll laugh at me. Let them laugh. They'll hit me. You'll heal. They'll kill me. You'll go to heaven. Why are we so afraid? It really doesn't even make sense. In the Bible times, we read where some literally were sawn asunder. A Christian was taken, put into a hollow log. Two men with a crosscut saw would begin going back and forth. If they refused to deny Christ, guys, they literally would cut that individual in half. We read where some were pulled apart, often in the Colosseums, for entertainment in front of thousands. They would tie a rope to both hands and both feet. These ropes would be tied back to the backs of four different horses. And again, if the individual refused to turn his back on Christ, the slaves would bring the whips down across the back of the horses. They'd run to four different directions, dismember and kill these people. Just because they were Christians. I read of one man, they caught him, his wife, and two boys. They chained him, and then they abused his wife and the two boys in front of his eyes, and then murdered them. And the whole time, the guy just kept saying, stay faithful to God. Stay faithful to God. Stay faithful to God. Now, I want you to look at me. You know what it takes for us to turn or to quit on God? Watch me. This is it. One roommate to laugh at you. One friend to shake his head. Yeah. God has not given us a spirit of fear. He will give you the courage if you'll just take it. But also says he'll give us the love or the compassion. Jude 22, and of some have compassion, making a difference. And I like the way that this says it, but it's not really what it actually means. Basically, this verse is saying, would you please have compassion on those who are differing in their minds? On those who are not sure what to believe? What kind of religion should I follow? Who is God? What is God? And there's so much confusion in our world. Guys, you know Jesus! You know the gospel! You know Jesus died, was buried, he rose again. You have the truth that transforms lives. And we can lovingly share that with all of our friends. If you care, there's no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear because fear is torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. So you're home. You find out a new family moves in down the road. So you go down to greet them, and there's a guy. There are guys about your age. And so you thought, man, I want to witness to him. So I'm going to invite him Saturday to my house. We're going to play some video games, have some pizza, and I'm going to share Christ with him. So you bring him down, and you're pretty good at video games, but you pretend that you're not doing so hot so he can win, so he's in a good mood, you know. You have pizza, and now you have your chance to share Jesus with him. If you think, oh boy, if I do this, probably he'll probably laugh at me and tell others, and he'll never want to come see me again. I'll lose every opportunity I ever have to witness, and you've got a great one right now. But if you get scared and don't share the gospel, then at least don't say that you care. Don't say that you love him. Because if you truly, truly love somebody, you don't care if they never speak to you again. You will give them the truth that makes the difference for eternity. I want you to close your eyes. Everybody, close your eyes, please. I want you to think of three individuals, okay? Three individuals that you know that do not know Jesus. Could be relatives, could be family, could be somebody you work with. Just get their first names and their faces in your mind, okay? Three individuals. They don't know Jesus. You got it? Okay, look up here. Did you know that nearly half of all high school seniors have used illegal drugs at least once, and almost 90% have used alcohol, some on a daily basis? Every 31 seconds, a teen becomes pregnant. Every 20 minutes, a teen is killed in an accident, and every 80 minutes, one is murdered. Every 78 seconds, a teen in America attempts suicide. Every 90 minutes, one succeeds. So I got to ask you guys, do you care? We have a hurting world out there.
They need Jesus, but you say, Rev, I don't know what to do. Well, then depend on God. What do? Pray. Say, Lord, lead me to someone that really needs you and wants you. You pray, as the missionary said, you meet people and you tell them about Jesus. And then you pray and you meet people and tell them about Jesus. But what if they ask me something I don't know? And here's where the confidence comes in. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. How many of you are confident in your salvation, that you're trusting Christ, Christ alone, and you could even sit down and explain this to others? Let me see your hands real high, okay? If you're confident in your salvation, then you at least should know how to share that with someone else. Got it? So what we're going to do is going to be a little bit weird, because I want to do I just want to illustrate something. So in a minute, I want you to do something for me. You're going to actually interview somebody sitting near you. Put your mask back on, please. Everybody put your mask back on. You're going to interview somebody. You're asking just five questions. Very simple. I'll give you the questions, okay? There'll be five questions. And I'm only going to give you about 35 seconds to do this. So look, point to somebody you're going to interview. Point to them. Okay, wait till I finish the questions before you start. Number one, what's your full name? Number two, where were you born? Number three, what's your favorite restaurant? Number four, who is your favorite superhero? And number five, who do you want to marry someday? You have 35 seconds. Go. Seconds. Five seconds. All right, time's up. Time's up. You can unmask. Now you know how Wesley felt when he finally got rid of his. So. Wasn't too easy, okay? Now, obviously, your social distance here and all that, but you know, in life, the reason that we don't easily communicate the gospel to unsaved friends is this. We're too far apart. Because a few minutes ago, all I asked you was to think of three people that don't know Jesus, and some of you couldn't do it. So, like, why are we even on this earth? And I understand you're in a Christian college and you wake up in your Christian bed and hit your Christian snooze and get an extra Christian 9 minutes of sleep and then eat a little Christian breakfast or maybe a Christian Pop-Tart and get into your Christian car and drive to your Christian college and hang out with your Christian friends and get taught by Christian teachers and eat a little Christian lunch or stop and get a little Christian Chick-fil-A and then you go home, do a little Christian homework and do a little Christian study and probably play a little few Christian video games and then crawl back in your Christian bed and go back to your Christian sleep. You need to be looking for redemptive relationships. You say, but Rand, I'm at school. You know how easy it is to share the gospel in texting? FaceTime? Find an unsafe friend. Say, hey, you want to meet like Tuesday night? A couple things I really want to share with you. It can be done. Too many voices. Pretty loud in here. It's hard to concentrate. And we live in a world, there's so many voices. I so hurt for kids who are so confused and don't know what to believe. Too little time. I only gave you 35 seconds. You guys have time for your friends. You have time for your fun, your media presence, you, but no time for unbelievers. To at least just take them to McDonald's on a Saturday morning and tell them about Jesus. Did you know relationships matter the most to teens and to college? I mean, that's why we have these things called Instagram and Facebook and Snapchat and
Marco Polo.
And when you do, you post something and you're freaked out because only 7 people liked it. Because you want friends. And relationships, they do, they matter. And there's so many kids that don't even have moms and dads that love them. That live not far from this university and live near where your homes are. But I want you to understand the most important relationship in all the world is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the one that is lasting. And we get our focus on people. They're going to let us down. But my Lord will never, ever, ever leave you or let you down. Isn't that wonderful? There's kids that are lost and kids that are lonely. And they need a hug by Jesus himself. And you can give that to them as you give the truth of the gospel. It's a relationship we're supposed to have. For by him, Jesus, were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible. All things were created by him. Say the next 3 words with me. Ready? And for him. You and you and you and you and you. You're created for Jesus. Made in a very unique, special way. Just the way God made you. Because he wants to use you. A big time paraphrase of Psalm 139. God went into his workshop and he made you. And he got all the chromosomes together and all the... By the way, did you hear what the one chromosome said to the other chromosome? Do these genes make me look fat? Anyway, he got all this stuff. He made you with the color of your eyes and the texture of your hair and your ability to sing, your ability to work with your hands or to lead. And he says, I want you to impact these individuals that I will ordain and bring into your life. Yeah. It's a relationship we're supposed to have, but it's also a relationship many don't have. And this breaks my heart. Your sins have separated from your God. God's a holy God and a holy heaven. Unless my sin is separated from me, I must be separated from my God. Your friends, unless their sin is separated from them, even those 3 you were thinking about, unless they seek God's forgiveness and that sin is separated from them, then they have to be separated from God forever. But the sweet thing is it's a relationship all can have. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just, that's Jesus, for the unjust, that's you and me. And get this, oh, this is such a wonderful phrase, that he might bring us to God. That's what Jesus did. And you need to tell your friends what Jesus did. And how do you do that? By dying for us, being buried and raising from the dead. It is a relationship all must choose. God is not seeking to populate heaven with a bunch of empty-headed puppets or well-programmed robots, okay? Repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. Repent, believe, noose, believe that you are a sinner and that those sins separate you from God. And God is the only one that can forgive us. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, what a promise, shall be saved. And God never, ever breaks his promise. Let's go back to your 3 friends. Got them? When you share Christ with them, some will reject Christ. It's sad. It's really sad. I cry. I do. I sometimes feel like there's a knife in my stomach. I hurt. But I'm not God. And even though I wish I could figure out a way, no, that's not my job. My job is to share that they need Jesus for forgiveness and he's a wonderful, forgiving God. Some ignore him. Hey, that's fine. Different strokes, different folks. You want it? Some postpone him. Oh, yeah, when I get older, I'll finally get saved. Maybe some of you are thinking that way. I don't want to get you weird and confused, but don't think that you can get saved anytime you want to. You don't have God on a chain that you jerk it. The Bible's very clear that no man comes to the Father unless the Father draw him. And as the Father through his Spirit draws, convicts individuals and gives them so many opportunities to repent of their sin and accept him. Don't push that away. Because the ultimate of God's wrath is not chastisement and correction. The ultimate of God's wrath, guys, is when he gets quiet. Leave me alone, God. I don't want you. I want to do it my own way. No, stop. It's almost like God says, really? Are you sure?
okay. And when you get to that point, oh, don't get to that point, please. You know which one scares me the most up here? I agree with you. You know, because you guys, most of you were raised in this Christian thing. You learned when you were real, real small that Christmas time means Jesus came and you sang the B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. And if you read your Bible, pray every day, you'll grow, grow, grow. If you don't read your Bible and forget to pray, you'll shrink, shrink. I'm shrinking. You will, okay? He died on the cross, that's Easter time, yep. So I agree with him. But yet there's no hunger in your heart for this precious book like Brother Les mentioned last night. And like Hebrews said, there's no conviction when you sin. You don't want consequences, you don't want to get in trouble, but not like you hurt because you hurt and displease God. There's no burden for other souls, just like none. No desire really to do right and to please God. And when these things aren't in my life, then I have to question whether the Holy Spirit of God really lives within. And so many just agree with this to get mom and dad off their back or whatever, make yourself feel good. I hope you're not there. What do you need to do? And your three friends, they need to commit to Jesus. Totally, totally commit. That's the goal. It really, really is. There's a young lady with a hat on. Could you please stand? What is your first name, real loud? Abby, okay. Now, just suppose Abby came to the wilds in North Carolina. I had the privilege to be there for 30 years. And we have a thing called a blob at the lake. How many have been on the blob at the lake? Okay, many of you have. So blob is a big air mattress, and you would jump off and go to the end of it, okay? And then somebody else would jump off and land on it, and then it would put you up in the air. Brother Steve Pettit, could you stand up, please? Abby, we're not going to let Brother Steve blob you, okay? Why? Probably because we don't have access to the space shuttle, okay? No offense. I mean, there's a weight difference here that would be a little bit dangerous if you think you can be seated, okay? But just suppose, this is cool. Steve speaks at our wilds every year, and he goes up and he blobs Abby, and she goes up and waves at the moon and flips around a couple of times, comes back. And Abby, when you hit the water, I mean, you forget everything you ever knew about swimming. So you go down and you come back up, you're spitting and sputtering, and you go down again. I'm lifeguarding at that time, and I'm thinking, oh, stink, I got to get in the water. And one, two, okay, she's going to drown, I better do it. And so I jump in, okay, and I swim over to you, and you're going down the last time. You're done. You're going to drown. You're going to die. Do you think Abby, while I'm swimming over her, would just look at me and say, wait a minute, stop. Are you a certified lifeguard? And if you are certified, what carry do you think would be the best in this situation? No! If she's going down the last time, grab hold of me! Totally commit to me because she cannot save herself! This is what Jesus did for us. He took our sin that we totally commit to him, and there's nothing we can do to add to that. He dove in to save us. And he can do the same for your three friends. I'm serious. How many of you know how to read? Let me see your hands. Sweet. We're in college. I hope so. If you know how to read, you know how to share Christ. So you find a friend, you take them out to eat and say, hey, can I share something? This little book really kind of shares what I have in my heart. And I like the way this one starts, okay? If God's purpose for mankind is to honor, serve, and fellowship with him, then what happened that destroyed this perfect relationship? What happened is called sin. And understanding that the middle letter of sin is I, your sin has separated between you and your God. Sin is thousands of I'll be God decisions in everyday situations. The sad thing is, the wages of sin is, say it, death. When I say death in a way is separation. When I say death, you say separation. Death, death. So if death is separation, eternal death is eternal from? Yes. Eternal separation. You believe in everlasting life, you believe in eternal death. If we die with the sin wall still there, we'll spend forever without God. This is what the Bible calls hell. But that is not what God wants. I'm telling you, I wasn't raised like most of you, and I've got extended family that don't know Jesus at all, and many who have already died. I hate the thought of hell. I've talked to God about this, and I do understand the purpose of hell. And probably in our world today, we understand it more than ever because we understand what the word quarantine means. You quarantine someone so that they are set aside and cannot infect anyone else. And someday, believers will live on a new heaven and a new earth that will be totally absent from sin. There'll be no sin to infect it. And so there is a quarantine set up. Not 2 weeks, but eternal. And it's called hell and Hades and the lake of fire. I don't want my friends to go there. I don't. It is real. So some just say, I can do this. I'll be good, or I'll go to church, or give a lot of money, or try to be moral. But they don't quite make it. For all have sinned, and what comes short of the glory of God? How many times do you have to lie to be a liar? Tell me. How many times do you have to steal to be a thief? How many times do you have to sin to be a sinner? For all have sinned, and we fall short of God's glorious perfection. Got it? We fall short of His perfectness because we can't be perfect. We need Jesus. He is the only one that lived a perfect life and the only one that can bridge this gap. And through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, by us simply putting our faith in that, you know that. But your three friends need to know this. But you got to tell them. You do. God's promise of eternal life, no condemnation, pass from death to life. Page by page, you're turning this in front of your friends, reading this to them. And then you get to hear. I preached a funeral about 2 weeks ago. My wife's brother-in-law, unchurched. About 53 or 4. Had cancer. About 3 months ago, I got a call that he was going to die that day. So I raced to Pennsylvania and got to the hospital in Danville, Pennsylvania, and went to his room 5:20 in the morning, 5:20 a.m., drove all night. Walked in, he was sitting in a chair looking out the window. I said, Kevin, you know, I've never put tons of pressure on you, but I got to share my heart, man. And I shared the gospel with him, and I asked him if he thought he would go to heaven when he died, and he says, no, I know I won't. You know what I did? I pulled a little track called the bridge track out of my pocket. I said, well, bud, can I show you this again? And I read through what we just did. And when I got to here, I said, would you like to pray and trust Christ as your Savior for forgiveness? He said, yes. So you know what I did at the funeral, Grayside? I don't even know a lot of these people. I grabbed a whole stack of those boys and went to the funeral director and said, you pass these out to everybody that attends. And we read through them there at the graveside. I have no idea if anyone trusted Christ. I don't know that. But I do know that every single one of us in here will live somewhere forever. God's not given us the spirit of fear, guys. The power of love and of sound mind. I beg you, don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Let's bow our heads in prayer. First question. And I'm going to pray for you guys. And I'm going to ask Brother Steve Pettit to come and pray for you too. Let's go back to your three friends. They need Jesus. You know the truth. You know Jesus. You understand the gospel. So very simply, here's what I'm going to ask. How many of you would commit to the Lord this afternoon? Lord, before summer comes, through FaceTime, going to visit them, texting them, giving them a call, before summer, before we go to graduation at the beginning of May, Lord, I'm asking you to give me the courage and the compassion, the confidence, one by one, to share the gospel with those three friends. Simple, simple, simple request. So I know how to pray for you. If you say, Rand, I do want to commit that to the Lord. And I want you to pray for me that God would help me to do this. Raise your hand real high. Keep them up just a minute, okay? Okay, thank you. You can put them down. I don't even know how many we have in here. If we have, I don't know, a couple thousand. About half at least of you raised your hand. Do you know what that means? That's like 3,000 unsaved people hearing the gospel in the next couple weeks. That is so amazingly wonderful. But I have to ask one more question. You may be here and say, Rand, wow, I didn't come thinking of this, but as you kept talking about sharing the gospel with others, and I'm looking at this, and I may just be one of those that have postponed God. Or maybe just agree, and I have there's nothing in my life that would give me confidence that the Spirit of God lives within. Basically, I'm saying this. I hear the gospel, I see it, I understand it, but I'm extremely concerned for my soul. And you would just say this, friend, please pray that God would give me the courage to either get with someone or get this taken care of today. Please pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm concerned for my soul. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand so I can see it? That's just for you guys. God bless you. Many of you. Many of you. Okay, you can put them down. I'm a firm believer when God begins to draw, don't say no. Find one of your friends. Find one of the faculty or staff. But don't go to bed tonight without getting this taken care of. I want to pray for us, and then Dr. Pettit will come. Father, it's your gospel story. It's your good news for all mankind. Thank you. Because many of us in here, we don't deserve to be saved, but yet you showed us. Thank you, thank you. And for those of us who know we're saved, we hear this kind of message and we should just want to say thank you like 1,000 times. And then, Lord, for those who are burdened for their unsaved friends, please give them that wisdom. Give them that compassion, that courage, the confidence. And would you do this, God? Would you please begin drawing and working on the hearts of those unsaved friends so that when these guys share your precious gospel with them, they'll be ready. I know you can do that, Lord. I know that. And then for those who are struggling in their own hearts, oh, Lord, just give them the courage just to get this taken care of. Because what a precious, wonderful peace and joy to lay your head on a pillow at night knowing we're forgiven. Knowing we're far from good enough to deserve this. We're imperfect. We're sinners. But you're so forgiving. Thank you for that. So, Father, I'm asking for you, through the power of the precious gospel of Jesus Christ, to use it to transform our friends' lives and our lives today.